Wow. Praise the Lord. I would love to show you how African people, they shout, praise the Lord. Okay? And you guys will learn a lot from Africa today. You know, I am from Egypt, and I am delighted to be here with you guys. And I heard... and not only heard, but I experience good stuff about you and about your pastor and the conference. Wow, heavy stuff. You know, it reminding me was my time in Egypt. You know, a conference like this, boom, 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 no even break, you know. You didn't have even time to go to the restroom, you know. Session after session after session, and... You know, I enjoyed it, and my wife, too. My wife, Janine, is here. Janine, can you wave, too? And thank you for your kindness and hospitality. You know, your pastor is really very kind, and, you know, and I discovered that his associate, John Winder, yeah, he is, I think he has an Egyptian blood in him because he is a funny guy, you know, and I'm talking about funny, you know. How many of you guys know Egyptian consider are the funniest people in Middle East, you know? Yeah, a few, yeah, I think John, yeah, but really, he has an Egyptian blood in him. Not only because he's funny, but he drives like Egyptian. You know, and I will tell you a true story about how Egyptian driving. When I came to San Diego from Spain, God called us to Orange County, and from Orange County, we decided to come to San Diego, and I have 1975 Honda 5 gears station wagon, and I have furniture and a lot of stuff. And, you know, if you're familiar with Highway 15, if your car is not really good, it will not make El Cajon Boulevard exit. And the car starts shaking, and the gear number 5 broke, number 4 broke, number 3 broke, and number 2 and 1 broke. And now I need to use Egyptian driving. And guess what I did? I remember I have the backward, the gear reverse is still working. I put the car in the reverse, and I started driving backward on the highway, and all the cars was the front, you know? Don't try to do that. Only Egyptian can do that, okay? But... that's how Egyptian driving, and I experienced some from John yesterday. You know, he was driving. I said, man, you are Egyptian, you know. And like I said, I came from Tanzania last year, and people, most of the time, they ask me, why are you wearing this shirt? You know, and I was teaching 350 pastors how they witness to Muslims. And if you know Africa, Islam is pushing hard in Africa to convert many Christians to Islam. And somehow they heard about me, they called me, they said, we have 350 pastors from Calvary Chapel. We wanted to know how to reach out to Muslims. And I was honored to be there. And after I teach them, the things really attracted me to the African people in Tanzania, the joy they have. They have a great joy. Those people has no resources like us here. But they love the Lord. They walk to the church. They shout with all of their power. And usually, before I start any meeting or my message, I ask the congregation to stand and shout, praise the Lord. Those African people, they shake the building. And I will let you see that in a video. Because I promised them I will go back to America and I will ask every church in America to shout, "Praise the Lord," and I will videotape every church and I will take it with me next time. And we can show Praise the Lord. In fact, I was in 14, 15 churches in East Coast the last 2 months, big churches, small churches, and we got five strong churches shouting Praise the Lord. And you will see them. The winner for East Coast is Cornerstone Calvary Chapel. You will see them on the TV also, on the video. And I wanted to put you inside the video, and I will record you because you are different state, Colorado, you know, and I will go to speak in many churches in Colorado, and we'll see who is really shaking the building. Okay, let us show the video, Praise the Lord. Can you beat the Tanzanian pastor? Okay, can you stand? Can you stand? And I will count three, and you start shout and shake the building, and don't worry, they have insurance on the building, okay? Okay. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. I think you guys will win the Colorado Spring contest. And one of the funny things happened also to us in East Coast. I was speaking at Philly, Calvary Chapel, and there is a lady from the TSA. She was hearing and listening to my story. And somehow she got a book after the service. And she doesn't have a time to stay until the service end and talk to me. It was big, crowded. And, you know, it happened. I'm traveling from East Coast to Las Vegas. And she is working in the TSA, the security section in the airport. And I put everything in my pocket in a small plate, and here is this lady discover, oh, this is Daniel Messiah. She started screaming loudly, "You are Daniel Messiah, I can't believe it. I read your book, you know, I'm sharing your story." And she was very, very loud, and I was, you know, embarrassed because I am Egyptian. I didn't want people to think I have a bomb, you know, in the airport. And I tried to tell her, "Hey, okay, that's fine, you know." You know, most of the time in the airport, when they stop me and asking me what's your nationality, I always will say I'm Mexican, not Egyptian. Yeah, I look like Mexican, right? No, I'm kidding. You know? But it was great experience meeting with this lady. And I encourage you also to get a copy of the book after the service. And I would like to show you a brief video about what we do. And you remember when I told you Egyptians are the funniest people in Middle East? And you can ask any Middle Eastern people, you know, you meet, is that true? Egyptians are funny? They will tell you a great story about how we are funny people. But here is what happened. One day I was in Spain, and I wanted to smuggle 500 Bibles from Spain to Morocco. I got the vision, wow, 500 Bibles go to Morocco in one time. I told one of our missionary in Spain, hey, brother, come on, let us go to Morocco and smuggle those Bibles. He was very scared, and he said, no, no, you're crazy. They will arrest us. I said, don't be chicken, you know. you are an American, worst case scenario. They will send you to America, but me, they will put me in prison. Come on. And I forced him, and he went with me to Spain in my car, and we start approaching the border. A lot of soldiers with guns, they stopped my car. And the first question they asking me, what's your nationality? Where are you from? I said, I'm from Egypt. Immediately the guy said, tell me a joke. And I start praying quick, you know, Lord, give me a good joke, because I wanted him to laugh because I have 500 Bible in my trunk. I didn't want him to open my trunk. And praise the Lord, the guy started laughing and laughing. And he told the rest of the soldier, open the gates to this guy. And that's how I came with the name, Open the Gates, you know, for our ministry. And I encourage you guys to get one of this flyer, not flyer, newsletter. God is really doing awesome job in reaching out to Muslim. And many, many great stories that touch me and my wife. We see people got saved. We see people, their life change. We see miracles happen. We see deliverance. People delivered from demons, from unclean spirit. For example, in our last trip, just the last 2 months, we were driving through Boconos, going to New York, and my wife saw a fancy church. She said, let us go see this church. They have Bible study sign at the door, and we went, and after we introduced ourselves and we attended with them the Bible study, the pastor came and said, could you please pray for one of our sisters? And we start laying hand. We didn't know what's going on with this sister. And the minute we start praying and, you know, covering her with the blood of Jesus, and we're praying for her, she starts screaming and making loud voices, and, you know, and the Holy Spirit told me she's a demon possessed. We start changing the prayer to rebuke Satan, to bind Satan, and to cast Satan and deliver this sister from this demonic power. And praise the Lord, demon left this lady, and she got delivered, and she gave her life to Christ. Yeah, praise the Lord. Also, in our way, we found a center, recovery center, of people that are addicted to alcohol, to cocaine, to many, many different stuff. And the center has like 40 people under treatment. They invited me, the pastor there invited me to speak. And I share my story. And after the end of my story, I told them, Jesus can change you too. And if you wanted to receive Jesus, stand and I will pray for you. And guess what? The whole center stand, and those 40 people accepted Christ. And we spend like half an hour praying for each individual. Another lady at Old Bridge, she was also a young lady with demon possessed. After the service, a lady, she brought me and my wife, and she said, please pray for this young lady. And we start praying and praying, and this young lady got delivered from the demon. And we praise the Lord because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't ever think Jesus finished his work in your life or in my life or the people's life. Everywhere we go, me and my wife, we pray for people, you know, and asking them if they like to accept and calling Jesus to their hearts. And it's amazing. People accepting Christ. Even in the hotel, when we are in hotels, the receptionist lady, I talk with her about Jesus. And I said, hey, Jesus loves you. Do you know why Jesus came? To save your life. You know, Jesus can change you. And the lady, you know, I saw in her eyes, she's ready. I told her, do you like to accept Jesus? She said, yeah. And we prayed with her, you know, in the front of the reception area. And she accepted Christ. I need hours to tell you, my friends, how God is working. God is working. Jesus said, I am working. And my Father is also working. You know, and we need as a church, as a Christian, as the body of Christ, not to forget, God give us good news. And this good news, the people around us need it. And they need to hear it. Let us see Open the Gate video.
For me to go to heaven.
You put your trust in Jesus, you will go to heaven.
If you guys are silent, how people will be saved? That's what God calling us to do and calling you to do. To go and share the good news with everyone around you. And I forgot to tell you, they gave me, in Tanzania, they made this shirt for me. And they told me, Pastor Daniel, if you wear this shirt, no Muslim can see you. I said, really? He said, yeah, you know. And I can go anywhere to share the gospel, you know, in mosque and in different places. But I wanted to encourage you today to go and share the good news with your friends. Can you open with me the book of Haggai? You guys say Haggai or Haggai. Your English is weird, you know? Haggai. Okay, in Haggai chapter 2, and until you guys open your Bible, I will tell you a true story about your language. In Spain, when we were coming to America, in the airport, we heard some American greeting each other saying, hey, man, hey, man. We thought they saying amen to each other. And we got excited and we said, wow, You know, all Americans are Christian, but we find out it's not amen. Anyway, Haggai chapter 2, I love this verse. It said, three times the Lord is telling his people, Joshua and Zerubbabel and the whole people of Israel, be strong and be strong and be strong, the high priest. Be strong, be strong, be strong. Three times he telling his people, be strong and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And verse 6, for this was the Lord of hosts saying, once more I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. All nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Three times the Lord is telling his people, be strong, be strong, be strong, and work. And then he said, I will shake all nations. I will shake the heaven, the earth, the dry land, the sea. I will shake all nations, and all nations will come to know the desire of all nations. Who is the desire of all nations, church? Jesus. And that's what God is doing today in the Middle East. And Jesus loves all nations. And because he loves nations, guess what? He shakes nations. He shake the Middle East the last 10 years, and he opens the door for the gospel to go inside the Middle East. He shake Tunis, Tunisia, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Jordan. Many, many countries in Middle East has been shaken. Do you know why? Because God wanted Muslims to come to know him. And his desire is to see Muslims coming to know the Lord. And my friends, the problem is churches and Christians, they didn't understand what God is doing. God is shaking the nation. And he wanted us to work with him. He told his people, be strong, and work. When was the last time you give someone a Bible? When was the last time you told someone Jesus loves you? This was my story. I know a Christian guy for 12 years. He never told me Jesus loves you, Muhammad. My real name was Muhammad Kamel. I know him for 12 years. He never opened his mouth to me. He's afraid. He's checking. He kept the good news for himself. He's afraid that he will be persecuted in Egypt. You can imagine for 12 years. And I know some of you guys, they didn't share the good news with their friends or their families, afraid or shy or ashamed of the gospel. Or thinking, if I share the gospel, you know, people will reject me. That's what happened to my friend. And for 12 years, I never knew anything about Jesus. I go to his home, he come to my house. We hang together, we eat together, we have fun together. He never told me, Jesus loves you, Muhammad. He never gave me a Bible. And every time I share my story in church and I think about that, Wow. How come a Christian cannot share about Jesus? I can't understand this. I can't understand you receive Christ and you are not sharing Christ with other people. And one day, I decided to go to his church to make fun of his church. And I told him, I'm interested to know more about your Christianity. Could you please take me to your church? He afraid to take me to his church. He thought I would put a bomb in his church. He decided to take me to a different church. See how Christians love each other? Don't bomb my church, bomb the other church. It's okay. And I went into the church and I sit in the back. And I was watching because everything I know about Christianity came from Hollywood, from the movies. Most of the Muslims think you guys are crazy, infidel. And if they come to your church, they would see you drinking, dancing, doing bad stuff in your church. That's what I was thinking. If I come to his church, I would see terrible stuff happening. And I waited to the end of the service, nothing happened. After the service, the pastor said, Brother John, lead us in prayer. I didn't know how they pray. I kicked him. I said, how you guys pray? He said, just close your eyes and listen to the prayer. I thought he wanted me to close my eyes, then they can do the bad thing inside the church. And I pretended I am closing, but I was watching everyone inside the church. Nothing happened. I didn't see anything wrong. I got disappointed. And I said, maybe if I come next time, they will be friendly with me. They will do the bad thing in front of me. And on our way home, I told them, how you guys pray? Can you write your prayer in a piece of paper? And he wrote the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in Heaven. I took it home, and I went to the bedroom, and I said, let me read and study this prayer to mock this prayer and to make fun of my friend. You see, my friend, if you didn't share the gospel, Muslim will come against you. And that's what happened today. You know, do you know how we can get rid of ISIS? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, take the gospel to Iraq. Take the gospel to Syria. Take the gospel to everywhere a Muslim there. You can change ISIS and the Muslim nations. But what happened is churches are afraid. And we are silent. And guess what? Islam is spreading. Islam is spreading. The more the church are silent, I guarantee you, Islam is taking over lands. You didn't believe me? Brother, can you show us the map in England, the last map, the map of England? Do you see this map? What do you think is a brown dots is? Mosques. They're taking over England and France by number. Why? Because the church of England is silent. The church is dead. And it will happen here if the church does not move with the good news to the Muslim community and the people around us. You know, my favorite verse in the Old Testament is 2 Kings 7:9. It said, we are not doing right. Today is the day of good news. If we remain silent till morning light, punishment will take over us. Church, God is shaking the nation because the church is silent. What do you think what's happening in Syria? Why is the refugees come here to America, to Europe? Because the church afraid to go. He bring Muslims here to our own backyard. And guess what? Even they are here, still Christians are afraid to share the gospel with Muslims, like my friend. And I start reading the prayer, the first line, Our Father in Heaven. And when I read that, I start laughing. I said, God is my Father. I can call him Father, Our Father in Heaven. I open the window and I start mocking the prayer. I said, you are my daddy. No Muslim dare to call God Father. And here is Christian prayer teaching Christian, call God our Father in Heaven. And while I am mocking and laughing, you are my daddy. I can call you Baba, Daddy. While I am mocking this, boom, the Lord's presence was filling my room. I felt him in my bed, hugging me, surrounding me with his arm and his face even next to my face. And he whispered and he said, yes, I am your daddy. I am your father. And this was enough to break my heart. I never felt, you know, God loves me. In Islam, for 23 years, I never felt relationship with God. That night, when I hear Jesus, when Jesus' presence in my room, I felt heaven and love surrounding me. Ocean of love. And he whispered and he told me, yes, I am your daddy. And he's telling everybody here tonight, he is your daddy. If Satan attacking you, if you facing difficulties, if you facing challenges like we heard this morning, Jesus, God, is your daddy. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. Jesus is your daddy. He loves you, and he wanted to change your life. And after this experience with God, first time I said, let me go to church, find more about what happened to me. And at the church, every time I attend the church, I start feeling peace, joy, you know, something happening in me. I didn't know what is going on at the time. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit is working in my heart. Remember, I was a Muslim. My name, Muhammad Kamel. Nothing I know about your Bible. But here is the Holy Spirit is teaching me and touching me day after day. One day I went to a conference in Alexandria. At the conference, there was a preacher preaching saying, Jesus can change your heart. Jesus can change your life. And he was really speaking with anointing, special anointing. I felt it. I need to be changed. I need this kind of change. I took a side at the conference and I started praying between me and God. Like this morning when you guys prayed on your knee, that's what I did. And I started praying. I said, Lord, if this guy telling the truth, change me. Change me. Change me. And while I'm saying that, just because that's what all I know, what I heard is Jesus can change you. That's what it came in my mind. And I start testing God and Jesus in this. If this is true, change me. And God knows my heart. God knows that 23 years in Islam, I was standing in prayer and going down and up, seeking Allah to change me. No change in Islam. And at that time, when I was praying on my knee, asking Jesus to change me, guess what happened? Boom! Shower of the Holy Spirit. Whew. Came down, exactly like shower, shaking everything in me. And I start speaking in tongues. And I am in Presbyterian church. Not a Pentecostal church. Not a Calvary Chapel church. And I remember one lady, she told me, you was praying and praising God like you have automatic weapon in your mouth. And I was hearing myself. I tried to stop. Lord, what is going on with me? But Jesus said, you prayed? You wanted to change? I will change you. Church, Jesus is serious. If you pray and you're serious, he's serious. He is in the business of changing souls and changing people. And after this experience with the Lord, everything changed in me. I went home. I told my mom and my family, I became a Christian. I received Christ. And I didn't know that this is opening the door for a great persecution. Everybody jumped on me, kicking me. You know, my dad, my mom put her nails in my neck. She wanted to kill me. And everybody approved that. But I was able to escape from their hands. I went to my church. And at my church, they start encouraging me and teaching me the word. The first Bible study I studied in the church after I accepted Christ was about Daniel, the book of Daniel. And I got touched by his personality. Said, wow, this guy is brave. He's standing in front of kings. He's not ashamed of his God. And I started telling myself, Lord, I didn't want it to be like Christian. Christian are chicken. I want it to be like Daniel. I want it to be like Paul. I want it to be like Jesus. And I changed my name after that Bible study to Daniel Abdel Messiah, which means Daniel the slave of the Messiah. And everything changed in me. And I decided to take the gospel to everyone I see in Egypt. Even if it's a Muslim country and it's under the Sharia law, I decided to go spread the gospel everywhere. And I prayed, said, Lord, use me, Lord. Use me. I prayed 8 hours a day on my knees. I need to know you more. You are my daddy. I was deceived. You have everything for me. And my friend, for 12 years, he was silent. He didn't told me about my daddy, how I can find my daddy. And I said, Lord, help me to share the gospel with everyone in Egypt. And I decided to share the gospel with 10 people every day. I will not sleep. And I will go from bus to bus carrying Bibles. I will leave the Bibles on the lap of people in the bus and speaking with taxi driver. And I go home and I count how many people I share the gospel with. If I found myself, I shared with 8, I'm missing 2. Do you know what I will do? I will not sleep. I will go back to the street. I will stop a taxi. And guess who's number 9? The taxi driver. And I will ask him to drop me, and I will take another taxi back home. That's number 10. I will go to the high-rising building. I will go inside the elevator. And the minute the elevator is closed, I have a captive audience. I will start sharing the gospel. I will stand in the bus. And this is in a Muslim nation, church. It's not in America. And I will shout, hey guys, have you heard about Jesus? And the whole bus looked to me and I started speaking about Jesus. I was in fire because I was deceived by my friend. You know, guys, Muslim around you and your neighbors and old people, unsaved, they are crying out to you. They are crying out. You remember in Acts chapter 16, when Paul saw a vision of the Macedonian guy, and in this vision, the Macedonian guy was shouting to Paul, "Please come and help us." You know how many people are screaming around you? Share the gospel with us. Share the good news with us. I was excited. I found the Lord. I found the good news. And one day I was in a taxi and I shared with all the seven people in the taxi, even the taxi driver. After everybody left the taxi, the taxi driver told me, "Why are you sharing with us? Why are you sharing with us about Jesus? Did you ever hear a Muslim became a Christian?" I said, "Yeah, I know Muslim became a Christian." He said, "If you show me one, I will come to church." I said, "Me." He said, "No, you're lying. You are a Christian and saying that." I said, "No, here is my ID." And I show him my ID, Muhammad Kamel. And in Egyptian ID, it's required to mark one of two boxes, a Muslim or a Christian. And they find my driver license marked as a Muslim. I told them, "You will come to church like you said." He said, "Yeah, I was excited, you know, and I went to church." But he didn't go to church. He reported me to the secret police. And the secret police came to the church and asked the pastor, "We need to meet with Muhammad Kamel, someone filing a claim against him." And the pastor came and said, "What you did? Two officers from the secret police want you to come out." I said, "I didn't do anything wrong other than I sharing the gospel." He said, "You know what? You can go from the back door and I will go back telling him you are not here." I said, no. "I'm very excited to meet with the secret police. Who will witness to the secret police?" And I went and I met them. They took me. They told me, "We will take you for half an hour." And the half an hour became 8 months in solitary confinement. No bed, no cover, no toilet, no shower, 1 meal a day. My toilet was a coffee can with sharp edges. I used to take my shoes to cover the edges to use my coffee can. And at their office, I start sharing my story with the secret police officer. And I told him how God manifested himself to me as a father, and I fell in love with God, and Jesus changed my heart and my life. And he said, "You know what? I think we need to keep you for a couple of days here, and we need to take you to the Attorney General of all Egypt. He is the one who is determined to put you in prison or no." And they took me to the Attorney General, surrounded by four officers. They have chain over my hand and with another officer. And I was praying while I'm in the truck, the police truck, that God will open the door to share the gospel with those officers. You know, and God gave me opportunity and I shared the gospel with them. And we arrived to the Attorney General office. At the Attorney General, he started asking me many questions. And I am praying and saying, "Lord, please give me a message for this man." And boom, the Lord gave me three questions to this guy. I told him, "Mr. Hisham, I will ask you three questions. If you answer them, I will go back to Islam. If you didn't answer them, guess what? You need to be a Christian or take Christianity seriously." And he accepted. He said, "Go ahead." I told him, "You see, it's funny. Now I'm interrogating the Attorney General." You know, that's really how Jesus turned situation. I told them the first question, does Allah love you in Islam? He said, I didn't know. I told them, if you died today, where are you going? Heaven or hell? He said, I didn't know. I told them, is Allah able to change you in Islam? He said, no, Allah will never change anybody. I told them, Mr. Hisham, did you notice your answer? Allah does not love you. Allah will not take you to heaven. Allah is not able to change you. Why are you following Allah in Islam? Why are you following Allah? He turned his table and he asked me the same three questions. He told me, is God loves you in Christianity? I said, of course God loves me. God came from heaven to earth. He died on the cross. He paid the price for my sin. God loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know. He said, if you died, where are you going? I said, I'm going to heaven. And I can prove it to you in your office. He said, how? I said, I know who you are. You are the Attorney General of all Egypt. With your signature, I will be behind the sun. Even if you do that, guess what? I'm not afraid of you. I know where I'm going. I am going to my daddy. And the guy's eyes was big. Then he asked me the third question. Is God able to change people in Christianity? I said, of course. That's why I am in your office. Praise the Lord. And after those three questions, he can't put me in prison for everything I said about Christ and my testimony. He asked me two questions. He said, what do you think about the Quran? Is the Quran from God or not? I said, you know, don't be sensitive. Don't take it personally. The Quran does not worth three pennies for me. And the guy who writes the report told him, sir, do you want me to write this? Because he was writing blasphemy, according to Islam. And he told him, yeah, write this. The guy starts shouting, oh, Allah, forgive me. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And then the second question, he asked me, what do you think about the Prophet Muhammad? Is he a prophet from God? I told him, don't be sensitive. Don't take it personally. Muhammad can be anything, but not a prophet from God. And the guy again asked him, sir, do you want me to write this? He said, yeah, write it. Oh, Allah, forgive me. Oh, Allah, forgive me. And then he signed my paper. In fact, to put me in prison for life. That's what he signed. You know, and when I went to prison, I was excited. Because guess what? I have hundreds of people. I will spend my time sharing the gospel with them. But they were smart. They know what I will do. They lock my room. No free time for me. Only 5 minutes to change my pocket. But guess what the Lord did? Everybody in the prison became suspicious and thought I'm a very dangerous man. And they started sneaking and coming to my small window in their free time, asking me, what is your crime? And I would say, a Muslim became a Christian. So, wow, you crazy? And the whole message start filling the prison where I am. And my nickname was Bishop Muhammad. I told you, Jesus is funny. And after the news went to the Attorney General, the whole prison now hearing about Jesus. And this guy, Muhammad Kamel, you put him in prison, he can't be silent. Everybody talk. And many prisoners came to know the Lord. Even atheists inside the prison. They try everything with me. They torture me. They treated me terribly. But the Lord was strengthening me. And you can imagine, I did not change my clothes for 8 months. I didn't take a shower for 8 months. I didn't brush my teeth for 8 months. But God protected me 100%. And finally, you know, the attorney general sent a message to the prison, let this guy get out of prison. And I went out of prison, and the first one I saw, guess who? My dentist. And I told him, could you please check my teeth, you know? And he started checking everything in me, and he said, man, I can't believe it. I said, what? He said, your gum is very healthy. It's like a baby. I said, really? He said, yeah. And the Lord told me, I protected you. I protected you. And he said, you know, you don't need any treatment. You know, praise the Lord. And after a couple of months, I came back to him for another checkup. And the minute he checked me, he said, wow, I can't believe it. I said, what? He said, now your mouth has a lot of bacteria inside your mouth. Because now I'm free and, you know, I'm eating and I have friends around me. Jesus left the protection. But I wanted to encourage you today, church, you know, don't be afraid of sharing the gospel. You know, be serious with the Lord because time is short. And do you know what? Jesus is coming soon. Do you know how I know? Because in the Bible it said Jesus is coming with the sound of trump and trump in the White House. And it's better to be ready for the coming of Christ. And I wanted to show you a couple of videos about my church in Egypt and how many Muslims are there, what God is doing. Can we see the Imam, the third DVD?
علمت أن من يدخل النصرانية في اليوم الواحد قرابة 100 المهم الذي أود أن أقوله إن التنصير اشتد في الشمال أقول في الجنوب وأخشى إن بقي الأمر على ذلك لعامين فقط ألا يكون في شمال السودان موحد.
In my time, there only were like 4 Muslims can attend a church like that. But today, God shake Egypt. And I receive calls telling me, come to Egypt and see what's happening. Muslims stopping Christian, telling them, tell us about Isa. Why Isa is appearing to them, Jesus, in vision and dreams. Jesus appeared to Muslims in vision and dreams. I have, last year, I received a call from College Avenue Baptist Church. I was scheduled to speak at one of their meetings. They told me we have today a guy from Saudi Arabia. We didn't know exactly what he needs or what he wants. I started talking with him and I told him, look, I'm coming next week to speak. Try to come. And he came. And after the service, I took him for a lunch because I know he's from Saudi Arabia. He's a Muslim. And I love Muslims. They are my family. And I wanted all of them to know Christ. And at the lunch time, I told him, tell me your story. What happened? He is the son of the ambassador of Saudi Arabia in Iran, in Mozambique, in France, and in Saudi Arabia, and another country. He's super vice or ambassador for 5 countries. And he came to America, and to make the story short, he to learn English, and he met a Christian lady, and they started dating each other, and he wanted to marry her and to convert her to Islam. And the lady refused. She said, no, I'm a Christian. I will not accept to be a Muslim. He tried to send her an imam, giving her Muslim books. but nothing works with this young lady. And one day he was walking in Balboa Park, and suddenly he was frustrated, talking with Allah, telling him, hey, Islam is the best religion. How come this lady doesn't want it to convert to Islam? And suddenly Jesus appeared to him in the cloud, the face of Jesus. He recognized this is Isa, this is Jesus. And suddenly another guy came in front of him and gave him a track, the $1 million track, and in the back of the track, the name of College Avenue Baptist Church, where I scheduled to speak. And here I'm sitting with this guy, seeing how God orchestrates his salvation. God loves Muslims. And after I witnessed to him and chose him, I told him, do you like to accept Christ? He said, yeah. You know, I never heard what you're saying from anyone before. You know, Muslims afraid to touch the Bible. They think the Bible is an unclean book. And he told me, his girlfriend gave him a Bible, and she told him, read this. He said, I brought a towel, and I covered the Bible with the towel to move it and hide it behind the TV. Muslim afraid of the Bible because they think the Bible unclean. And we know that through the power of the gospel, anybody can be saved. And we have the good news. We need to share the good news. Anyway, to make the story short, this guy, I told him, do you like to accept Christ? He said, yeah. What I need to do? I said, pray after me. Lord Jesus. He doesn't want it to say Lord Jesus. I said, what happened? He said, because Jesus is a prophet in Islam. I opened the Quran and I show him the verse in the Quran saying Jesus is God. He said, okay, go ahead, pray. And he prayed after me, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. He doesn't want it to say, forgive my sin. I said, what happened? He said, because in Islam, there's no forgiveness of sin. You know, you never know where you're going. I start witnessing to him about what Jesus did for his salvation. And he said, okay, go ahead, that's great. This prayer took me 1 hour. But praise the Lord, the guy got saved, accepted Christ, and we baptized him in La Jolla, and now he is witnessing to his friend. You know, Jesus is encouraging us to see those kind of Muslim attending churches. And I wanted to encourage you guys to take the gospel seriously. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Last video you will see about big revival happening in Egypt, and 70,000 Christian and Muslim and all kind of groups coming and calling the name of Jesus for 12 hours in the land of Egypt, a Muslim land. Can we see? It's good news, right? Yeah, you agree Jesus is working, right? And you never see this stuff in America. You know, your media deceiving you. Your media wanted you to be scared, to be afraid, to be ashamed of the gospel. You know, but the gospel is the power of salvation. This is happening in Muslims' nation, not here. You know, and I encourage you today to take the gospel and share it with many people around you. And guess what? What is the worst case scenario? They kill you. You know where you're going, right? You're going to heaven, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. And I wanted to make one announcement before I leave. We have a satellite to take the gospel to 30 million Muslims from America to all Middle East. And you will see our TV satellite if we can play the rock, the one.
ندي يد ونحيي كل الضيوف اللي موجودين معانا النهارده. الكنيسه دي كنيسه ميدان التحرير اسمها قصر الدباره، لان المنطقه دي كان اسمها كده. مره ثانيه برحب معانا اصدقاء واخوات لينا مسلمين دعناهم اصحابنا. ممكن الضيوف مش اللي هيكرموا ممكن يقفوا، ممكن كل اخواتنا المسلمين تفضلوا تفضلوا تفضلوا. عندنا اخوات كتير قوي اصدقاء جايين النهارده. اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا اهلا وسهلا.
I encourage you to get one of our newsletters, and you will see, you know, and this is the first time to speak about this in any church, you know, but we feeling like we're facing a mountain and we need help and support from other churches and Christians. We're praying for a TriCast. It costs around $10,000. The Lord sent 7,500 so far. We praise the Lord. And also, we need to cover the cost of the satellite. You can imagine all of those messages will go to Middle East. And we need people to support us. Even $10 a month, it can make a difference. We try to raise, get 1,200 people to support us with $10 a month. And I know God is good and He has all resources, and I know you guys are touched by what God is doing among the Muslim people. And thank you again so much for everything you do for God.